SpiritualOlympics.org.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
The Rough Belleville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belleville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Tuesday, October 7th, 2015, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us for our next 2 hours of news and interviews you can use for the cannabis community. From coast to coast and everywhere in between, four down and 46 to go. We will keep doing this until marijuana is legalized all throughout the United States, and then we'll start on the rest of the world. So join up with us if you're new. Thanks for joining us here. New listeners, always glad to have you here. And tell your friends about the Russ Belleville Show. You can find us on RadicalRuss.com, 420Radio.org, and soon to be on CannabisRadio.com. Get all the information you need out at 420Radio.org. This podcast is absolutely free, and it is so because of our VIP supporters and our sponsors. So thank you so much for making that possible. Coming to you live from beautiful legal Potland, Oregon, where marijuana legalization has taken root. But in my article on marijuanapolitics.com today, I point out how Oregon statewide legalization isn't really statewide. That is, we've legalized in Oregon, but they haven't really legalized in the state of West Idaho. Oh, you didn't know there was a state of West Idaho? I'll tell you all about it in hour two in our Toker Talk Radio for our live listeners who are sticking around, or our VIP members at 420 Radio who get those replays. But basically, our state is split in half, and I'm on the good half. I get to be in the half that has pot shops and legal grows and all that stuff. We'll tell you more about that in hour two. But for hour one today, we've got a really important guest joining us at half past. It's John Pardee from the Ohio Rights Group, a longtime activist for medical marijuana in the state of Ohio. As you know, Ohio has marijuana legalization on the ballot in 2015, and that legalization would likely create a medical marijuana program as well. We'll ask John about that and what the Ohio Rights Group thinks about the Issue 3 legalization and what they're aiming to do in the future. So stay tuned for that. Coming up after the interview, we'll have time for a radical rant. And in the rant today, we're going to talk, pardon the language, about the California clusterfuck. It's about the only proper word that will work. There are, what, 8 different groups now attempting to legalize marijuana in the state of California. Reform California came out with their language. Now I'm hearing from Drug Policy Alliance that there might be another bill that's being filed, somebody else that's going to put some millions behind it. We'll try to unpack that entire clusterfuck for you during the radical rant. Also coming up on the show today, right after the headlines, we've got in our Behind the News segment a terrible story, also from Ohio, of a young man, a student, high school student, who committed suicide after getting busted for marijuana because the officials, the authorities there, scared him so badly that his life was ruined that I guess he decided it wasn't worth living anymore. So we will check that out. And also, we've got a Reefer Madness Debunked. The Oregonian here in Portland has come up with a ridiculous op-ed about voting age adults and their use of marijuana. We'll tackle all that right after the 420 Radio News. That's coming up next after these messages.
You're tuned into the Russ Belleville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio, turning red states and blue states green.
Imagine life without taxes. Let New Era Certified Public Accountants, NewEraCPAs.com, handle your cannabis business 280E and tax strategy. Get your business prepared with New Era CPA's Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. NewEraCPAs.com. With years of experience in the industry, we are one of the nation's leading accounting firms for growers, dispensaries, and ancillary companies from Washington to California. NewEraCPAs.com.
As a police officer, I walked the beat, served on the vice squad and SWAT team, and became an expert on drug addiction. I saw firsthand the effects of Ohio's destructive marijuana laws. Simply put, they don't work. Ohio spends over $100 million each year on this failed effort. It's time for marijuana reform, so law enforcement can spend their time cracking down on real criminals and making Ohio a safer place for our families. Vote yes on 3.
It's time for the 420 Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Replays of 420 Radio News are embeddable and shareable from our SoundCloud page at soundcloud.com/radicalruss. Now, the marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds.
This is your 420 Radio News for Wednesday, October 7th, 2015. The Michigan House of Representatives approved Wednesday a three-bill package that expands the kinds of medical marijuana patients can ingest and more clearly specifies who can dispense the pot. Michigan Supreme Court and Court of Appeals rulings have held that pot shops and non-smoked forms of cannabis are illegal, but many communities are permitting pot outlets to continue operating, and patients have stated publicly they are using products such as cannabis oil. One bill specifically clarifies the clouded legal status of cannabis outlets. Another permits products such as cannabis oil some Michiganders are using to treat chronic conditions such as fibromyalgia pain and seizures. The main bill also calls for a 3% excise tax in addition to the 6% sales tax on marijuana and cannabis products. An advisory board voted Wednesday to add 8 health conditions, including chronic pain syndrome, autism, osteoarthritis, and post-traumatic stress, to the list of illnesses that can be treated by medical marijuana in Illinois. The state's Medical Cannabis Advisory Board had expressed frustration last month when Governor Bruce Rauner's administration rejected the first 11 suggestions for expanding the list of medical conditions. Board Chair Dr. Leslie Mendoza-Temple said Wednesday that she hopes the Rauner administration will have a different response to the latest round of suggestions after dispensaries start selling the drug, which will be later this month or in early November. Other conditions recommended by the panel Wednesday were chronic pain due to trauma, chronic post-operative pain, intractable pain, and irritable bowel syndrome. The board recommended everything on its agenda after hearing public testimony and discussing available scientific evidence. The state of Ohio announced Tuesday that it is suing the city of Toledo over parts of its new marijuana decriminalization ordinance, claiming the law would entice drug cartels to set up regional distribution operations in the city. Ohio Attorney General Mike DeWine and the Lucas County prosecutor and sheriff filed the lawsuit against Toledo's voter-approved sensible marijuana ordinance, which eliminated criminal penalties and fines for marijuana-related offenses in the city. Quote, "This ordinance encourages drug cartels to set up marijuana distribution operations in Toledo with less fear of prison or penalties," DeWine said in a news release. "Absent legal action, it is not hard to imagine international drug rings making Toledo their regional base of operations," end quote. Other major cities, including Chicago and Philadelphia, have passed marijuana decriminalization laws absent state decriminalization. It hasn't appeared that international drug rings have benefited from those cities as a base of operations. Washington State announced new rules for pesticide testing in pot as the first product liability lawsuit was filed against the pot industry in Colorado over pesticide use. New emergency rules, which took effect this week in Washington, do not make testing for pesticides mandatory. Instead, they create a system that aims to give legal pot merchants and consumers who want it some assurance that their pot does not contain residual or unapproved pesticides. Under the rules, growers and processors can elect to get an enhanced seal of approval, according to a State Department of Health official, if they comply with the new standards for labeling, safe handling, employee training, and pesticide screening. Their products could then carry a logo saying as much. The state's recreational pot rules require testing for mold, microbes, and other foreign matter, but they do not mandate pesticide testing because it can be expensive and complex, and none of the state-certified labs have that capacity. Getting caught with a little marijuana in Palm Beach County, Florida could result in a $100 ticket instead of a trip to jail under a new law initially approved Tuesday. The proposal would allow law enforcement officers to issue civil citations, similar to traffic tickets, instead of arresting adults found with 20 grams or less of marijuana. 20 grams is about 3/4 of an ounce. Supporters say the change would lessen public costs at the jail and avoid saddling people with criminal records that can make it harder to get jobs. The proposed rule change goes back before the county commission for a final vote on October 20th. Miami-Dade County and the city of West Palm Beach have already passed similar measures. Broward County gave initial approval to their measure just yesterday. This has been your 420 Radio News for Wednesday, October 7th, 2015. I'm Russ Belville.
Marijuana is not addictive, but listening to the Russ Belville Show is.
Oregon has joined Washington and Colorado in legalizing marijuana. We're Portland Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws chapter in Portland, Oregon. Join us as we celebrate the launch of an exciting new era in marijuana freedom in Oregon. Our job has just begun. Powerful interests want to white out the most important portions of Oregon's legalization law. By joining Portland Normal, you add your voice to the thousands who voted for Measure 91 and want it to be implemented as written. The people have spoken. Now it is time for the legislature to obey the will of the people. Find out more about Portland Normal at portlandnormal.org. Attend our monthly membership meetings on the fourth Saturday of the month. See our website for more details. Portland Normal, ensuring responsible adult marijuana consumers are afforded the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as beer drinkers. The Russ Belville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association in the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com, and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
Today in Behind the Headlines, we head back to the state of Ohio, where Fox 43 is reporting, student wants school administrators and police to be held responsible for classmates' suicide. The suicide happened to a sophomore at an Ohio high school in Geneva, Ohio. His friend Hayden Long is the name of the sophomore who committed suicide. And according to a letter, an open letter posted by his friend Hank Siegel, he committed suicide after he faced disciplinary action at his homecoming dance. I'll just read the letter to you from Hank Siegel. Today, our family of Geneva has lost a loved one. Hayden was a great student in class, a determined athlete, and a wonderful, friendly human being. He was a faithful friend and someone who everyone enjoyed to be around. We must never forget the type of person he was and character he possessed. We must remember that everyone's lives matter. Even a joyful, loving kid can be in a dark mental place. I am a student from Geneva High School and was involved with the same disciplinary issue as Hayden at homecoming. A group of kids were accused of smelling like marijuana at the dance. This group of kids was made up of 6 honor students, who were all involved in sports and great members of our community. What happened was a 2-week suspension from school, possible criminal charges, suspension from all sports, and loss of driver's license. I was exposed to some things that I would never want to see again when I was in the room where we were taken. We were questioned without our parents, and they forcibly took my keys and searched my car. When I stood up for myself and asked if they had the right to do this, I was told, quote, "It's cute you think you know your rights," end quote. Hayden was looked in the eyes and verbally attacked by Mr. Walter Holt, Mr. Mark John, and Officer Gonzalez. He was directly told that he had ruined his life by our school administrators. The students were told they would fail their classes, had ruined their academic careers, and had made the biggest mistake of their life. A minor issue was turned into a life-changing catastrophe by these negligent and vicious men. As a family, we know that our lives matter, but in my opinion, they do not to Mr. Welter Holt, Mr. Markajon, and Officer Gonzalez. These are repeat offenders and have been antagonizing and trying to bring our students down for years. We must open our eyes. These men must not be a part of our family any longer. Heather Siegel, the mother, adds to the end of that letter, "As Hank's mother, I would like to apologize to Hayden's family if this letter hurts anyone. There, but for the grace of God, go I. I remember him as a sweet boy from Biddy Ball with a beautiful smile. The administration needs to accept responsibility for this tragedy. Impressionable teenagers should not be treated like hardened criminals." Now, there was a response. The school district sent out an open letter to the community. The superintendent was the one who put out that letter. That's Eric Kujala. And in his letter, he says, quote, "This is a devastating loss for so many. Our thoughts and prayers go out to the family, and we as a district and community support the family in every way. We sympathize with them for their loss and understand this is a very difficult time. Our focus right now is on the grieving process of the family, students, staff, and community." End quote. This young man is dead, and he sounds like a young man very much like I was back in high school. I was on honor. I was an honor student. Hung out with a bunch of other honor students. But because they smelled like marijuana, they had to be punished. Despite the fact that they're honor students and they're all involved in sports, it does not appear that their use of marijuana was causing them any difficulties until they were caught for it. They weren't dropping out of school. They weren't failing to participate with the rest of the kids in activities. Good kids. Now, we don't want kids smoking pot. I understand that. But to scare the hell out of them, to tell them they've ruined their lives, that they'll fail all their classes, that's a hell of a lot of stress on these kids, especially honor students who are probably thinking about, oh my God, my full ride scholarship, my academic career is over. What do I have left to live for? Yes, this administration needs to take a little bit of responsibility, and we as a nation need to stop treating teenage pot smokers as hardened criminals.
Well, what the hell is supposed to do, you moron?
Supposed to legalize marijuana, end this stigma and shaming. And when it does come to teenagers getting involved with marijuana, examine the context. Look, if the kid's doing good in school, has a job, is active in sports, what's the problem?
The Russ Belville Show reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired. Hang out for a while. Share.
The Fingerboard Extension has fretted instruments to enhance your creativity. It has new and used guitars and banjos from beginning to high class. The Fingerboard Extension has National Resophonic, Husson Dalton, Larrabee, Heritage and Recording King guitars, and Mike Ramsey, Wildwood, Gold Tone and Recording King banjos. The Fingerboard Extension also has drum stuff, used gear, and parts. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis, Oregon at 120 Northwest 2nd, or check out the inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com and reverb.com.
Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz.
Marijuana is an addictive drug. which produces in its users insanity, criminality, and death. Marijuana is the most violence-causing drug in the history of mankind. If the hideous monster Frankenstein came face-to-face with the monster of marijuana, he'd drop dead from fright.
You know, it's not easy countering 7 decades of propaganda in a 2-hour show, but let's try. It's time for the Russ Belville Show's Reefer Madness Debunked.
Today in the debunking, we take a look at the latest editorial from the editorial board of the Oregonian, the state's largest paper here in Oregon. It's entitled, Underage Pot Use Needs Containment as the Legal Recreational Market Expands. This is part of their editorial agenda. And yeah, you think, well, yeah, we don't want kids smoking pot. That could be really, really bad. But no, what we're talking about here is the report that was issued Tuesday by Multnomah County. And I covered this on yesterday's show. Multnomah County is home to Portland, Oregon. It's by far the most populous county in the state. The report was issued Tuesday that shows 1 in 3 Multnomah County residents aged 18 to 25 used marijuana in the past month, higher than the rest of the state and the nation. And as I pointed out yesterday, and I added to a comment today for the Oregonian, when you've looked at the numbers from the National Survey on Drug Use and Health for as long as I have, there are some truths that become pretty damn evident. Number one, people aged 18 to 25 are the greatest consumers of weed, no matter where you look. Number two, people in medical and legal states are the greatest consumers of weed. Number three, people in urban counties are the greatest consumers of weed. So we have the bulletin from Multnomah County telling us that the data taken from when marijuana was still illegal, remember, show that there's a lot of marijuana use in an urban county in a medical marijuana state among young people. Well, breaking news. Let me take a look at that bulletin. I'll put down this other one I've been reading from the Forest Service about where bears prefer to defecate, and this other one from the Vatican about which religion Pope Francis has decided to follow. Yeah, Multnomah County has greater than Oregon, greater than the United States. It always has. It has for the past 40 years. So it's not news here. And it's been that way throughout criminalization. We're now starting legalization, or at least on the western side of the state, the marijuana market is going to go indoors into pot shops that check ID and don't let minors in. And another thing about this, we're worried about 18 to 25-year-old pot use, really? Well, first of all, 18, 19, 20, that's 3 years of it, and 21, 22, 23, 24, and 25 are 5 years of it. So already, what is that, 5/8 of the people we're talking about, roughly, are legal to consume anyway. So it's the 18, 19, and 20-year-olds that we have to have a problem with, right? Despite the fact that at 18, you can vote, you can join the military, you can buy cigarettes and cigars in this state, you can enter into contracts, and you can be charged as an adult for murder. But we're terribly worried that they're smoking a lot of pot. Another thing that they bring up in here, and let me get to some of these in the text. If the numbers hold, the health implications for adolescents are more worrisome and underscore a challenge now before the Oregon Liquor Control Commission. And then they say the brain grows and develops typically through age 25. So we got to protect young Oregonians from being enticed by the drug. Look, any enticement for that drug pales into comparison to what alcohol and nicotine can do to the developing brain up to age 25. But you see the state of Oregon promoting the hell out of craft brewing and craft wines and craft spirits, don't you? Not a whole lot of, oh, we got to make sure that the 21-year-old drinkers don't drink as much. No, don't hear a whole lot of that, do you? Another thing the editorial board brings back up, 2/3 of Multnomah County 11th graders said it would be easy to buy pot. Well, yeah, guess what? Since 1975, the Monitoring the Future study has asked 12th graders, admittedly a year older, but it asked 12th graders how easy it is to get pot. And for the past 45 years, between 80 and 91% of them, nationwide, say it would be easy or fairly easy to get pot. So two-thirds of 11th graders? Gosh, that's only 66%. 67%. That's a whole lot less than 80 to 90, isn't it? And saying pot was easier to buy than cigarettes? Again, we're talking about data that only went up to 2012, right? So pot easier to buy than cigarettes. When the cigarettes, you can get at age 18, but you have to show an ID to an adult who can lose his license if he sells them to you underage, who then has to unlock a cabinet that's out of reach to be able to get the cigarette for the kid. And somehow, that's harder than the kid just going behind the shop class and meeting the other kid at the high school who's the weed dealer because it's profitable to be a weed dealer. Yeah, of course it's easier for the kids to get weed. It's illegal. There's no controls on it whatsoever. Until now. They also worry about the spike in cannabis consumption among young adults from 25% in 2003 to 32% by 2010. But again, cannabis consumption went up everywhere from 2003 to 2010. Oregon wasn't any different than any other place. They're desperate to find something to be afraid about, but the 100 or so outlets in Portland and 300 outlets in the rest of the state selling weed aren't selling them to the underage kids. That's the weed dealers in Eastern Oregon. We'll talk more about Eastern Oregon in hour two. Weed Dealers Paradise, West Idaho, where all your consumers are legal to possess and all your low-level growers are legal to grow 4 plants and possess a half pound. But there's no place for those legal consumers to buy any weed except from you. That's right. Come to West Idaho, the Weed Dealers Paradise. When we come back, we're going to speak with John Pardee from the Ohio Rights Group. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics. Herbie Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
While humans have been using cannabis for medicinal purposes for over 5,000 years, medical science is only beginning to unlock the secrets of the endocannabinoid system and the promise of cannabinoid medicines. Join us now for the latest cannabinoid medicine update.
All right, welcome back. Looking back to the state of Ohio, where there's all sorts of reform going on and controversy as well, we're visiting with John Pardee from the Ohio Rights Group, longtime activist in the area. John, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Russ.
Well, what is the latest with the Ohio Rights Group? We know Responsible Ohio got their legalization initiative on the ballot, but you guys have been there fighting for a long time. What's up with Ohio Rights Group?
Well, you know, we're always out for the patients. You know, we're patient focused, and you know, within the IRS group, when Responsible Ohio first showed up on the scene, you know, we were initially resistant because there's some things about, you know, their initial draft that we were not fans of. But we've engaged them, and you know, luckily when they came out with a second draft, it included home grow, which we were pretty excited about. And then the only two things that remained that we were concerned about was the exclusivity of the grow sites and patient protections. Well, we've had an occasion to meet with members of Responsible Ohio, and we have, you know, worked with them and collaborated with them to make sure that, you know, patients' needs are going to be overseen by an independent ombudsman who's going to be looking out on behalf of patients. Excuse me. And then, you know, also, the one thing that we were pretty proud of is we worked with them to develop what they call an artisanal grow model, which they're going to allow Ohio growers to come into some of their facilities and become minority owners of the site, and to be able to retain intellectual property rights for any strains that they may develop, which is exciting for folks, you know, in Ohio who want to apply their trade and you know, earn a living for their families.
Wow.
So with all of that they've done and we've collaborated with them, we've actually decided, you know, as a board, as of last Sunday, to throw our support behind issue 3 and try to get Ohio, you know, out of the shadows of prohibition and into the 21st century.
That's fantastic news. John Pardee from Ohio Rights Group, the board this weekend is officially endorsing the issue 3 in Ohio on the 2015 ballot to legalize marijuana. And let's go back to that part you mentioned about small size growers subleasing from the 10 existing grows. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, you know, we've been trying to engage them and to understanding, you know, how important having that independence is to our community. I mean, you know very well, Russ, you know, the cannabis community, they're a very independent bunch. And, you know, they're not big fans of, you know, wanting to, you know, work within a larger, you know, system. And we initially talked about, you know, the opportunities, the things that were maybe, you know, framed after cooperatives and things like that. And what has distilled out of our conversations is we have 4 out of the 10 sites so far have committed to this artisanal grow model, which means they're going to be bringing in the best of the best. And the folks who demonstrate skill and ability, who really know their stuff, they're going to be given, you know, minority ownership rights, and, you know, as well as, you know, autonomy to grow their own strains for profit and try to develop, you know, unique strains. And what I see coming, this is what I've been trying to tell people in Ohio, is, you know, you look at these 10 sites almost like, you know, 10 competitive professional, you know, baseball teams, you know, in Ohio that'll be, you know, competing when we sponsor the Ohio Cannabis Cup every year, and seeing these people come out and try to show what their best strains are and have them compete head to head. And so they're almost like, you know, Major League Baseball players. You know, the really good growers are going to be people that'll be coveted, and they're going to be offered, you know, I think some pretty substantial incentives to grow for these other centers, because it's going to reflect well on them to have these quality cultivators, you know, working in their centers. It's going to be great for their business. And so I think it's going to be an interesting, you know, business dynamic that is going to come here in Ohio, and I'm pretty excited to see it happen.
You know, that's something that's been developing here over the past couple of weeks. We've been speaking with Garrett Greenlee of the International Cannabinoid Institute, and they've secured a lease at the Licking County site. Now, you're saying that there will be multiple small growers also securing leases at least 4 of these 10 MGCEs?
Yeah, we've gotten 4 to commit, and we fully expect many more will come online, because what they're going to find is they're going to want to incentivize, you know, the top growers in the state of Ohio. I mean, just like anybody else, if you're really good at what you do, you're going to be sought after. And, you know, the centers that do offer the top growers, you know, ownership, you know, stake and intellectual property rights, they're going to grow all the best stuff. And the ones who don't sign up, I think, are honestly going to be left behind. And I think it's, they're going to see the value of giving their people, that kind of stake, in exchange for their increased reputation, increased market share. So I have a feeling we're starting out before. I think by the time these sites come online, we'll probably be close to a majority, if not all of them, are going to have the same model.
That's amazing. And, I did some back the envelope calculations and found that the acreage of the 10 different sites comprises about 13 million square feet. So there's certainly a lot of room if they decide to go with that model. And I really like, John, your metaphor of the baseball analogy, baseball or football or whatever, where the 10 sites are like having 10 major league teams, and they need pitchers and catchers and first baseman and second baseman, and they're not always the same people. So is that getting understood in Ohio? I still get so much from people online in Ohio giving me grief over this issue 3. Do you think that the general cannabis consuming public there, and especially patients, are starting to understand this?
Well, the patients get it, because the patients really, they don't give a flying fig about business models. They want safe access to their medicine, and they need it now. It generally is kind of more of the radical activists or people who want to consider themselves like constitutional purists, saying that this is not the way to do it. And I agree, this is kind of a cumbersome model, and I would prefer to see it done another way. But to Responsible Ohio's credit, they figured out a way to actually qualify for the ballot. We've been at it for years. And in order to qualify for the ballot, you need three things. You need a great ballot language, you need a great organization, and you need a lot of money. And if you don't have all three of those things, you're never going to qualify for the ballot, let alone run a successful campaign, which costs a lot of money in the state of Ohio to do so. And Responsible Ohio has figured out how to do that. And, that's why we're on board, because we honestly, if this goes down, if this doesn't pass, I'm very doubtful that another group is going to be able to put together all the winning pieces they need in order to not only just qualify for the ballot, but to go up against the state house and the attorney general, all these forces that are trying to stamp it out and actually win. And these guys have a chance of winning if we can get the activist community to realize this is our shot. Let's get it done. Let's end prohibition, which is the biggest monopoly in the state of Ohio. And then let's work to make the system better as time goes on.
There you go. John Pardee from the Ohio Rights Group on Issue 3 and his organization's official support of it. And you bring up a lot of the points that I bring up with people. And I point out that, 45 years of Nixon's war on drugs, and this is the first time Ohio's had a chance to vote on it. And sometimes the critics will say, well, the investors say they'll try again in 2016 or 2017. Something better is bound to come along. But there's that issue too, which is the anti-monopoly amendment that's being voted on. If that thing should pass, do you think these investors are going to want to try again?
We fear that issue 2 is going to have a real chilling effect on the citizen initiative process. I mean, if you read the title, it sounds great. Sounds, like it's an honorable, piece of legislation, but the devil's in the details. It's an absolute wolf in sheep's clothing. What it's going to do, it's going to kneecap, citizen initiative groups for years to come. Because what it does, if you read it very closely, is it'll make a ruling after an initiative is qualified for the ballot, which means you have to spend your $2 million to get your 700,000 signatures in order to qualify. And then the ballot board, which is a partisan board made up of, two from the minority party and three from the majority party, which right now is the Republican Party in Ohio. And those three, they're politicos, including, the Secretary of State. And, if the powers that be don't want to see a particular ballot initiative, and it doesn't have to just be cannabis, it could be, patients' rights, it could be veteran rights, it could be union rights. They can say, nope, it creates a special interest, and they're going to stamp it as a violation, and it require a two-tier, a double vote on the same amendment. And it's basically going to chill anybody who wants to invest, put in a major investment to try to sponsor a citizen initiative effort in the future. So it's absolutely bad law. And I hope all Ohioans, regardless of how they feel about issue three, they really need to come out and vote now on issue two. That's so important.
Yeah, I think people don't understand how precious the state initiative process is. Less than half of the states in America even have this process. And some of the ones that have it, like Illinois, it's so arduous that they might as well not have the process. So, you know, Ohio, you got to protect that right. And don't let them scare you with this one kind of bad grow proposal into throwing away the initiative rights you'd have to come up with a better proposal in the future. Why take away your ability to fight the man? John Pardee from the Ohio Rights Group, we got about a minute left. Do you have anything else you'd like to tell the audience, or maybe websites or Facebooks to give out?
Well, voting, early voting started yesterday in Ohio, so we encourage people, please, to get out, and vote, yes on issue three and no on issue two, but continue to support the work of the Ohio Rights Group. We're engaged in a speaking tour around the state of Ohio right now, so if you want to find us, go to ohiorightsgroup.org, and we can have a speaker come to your group, and we're going to continue to advocate on behalf of patients. And thank you, Russ, for the opportunity to talk to a wide audience.
Oh, yeah, it's my pleasure to be speaking to people in Ohio that can see the wisdom in grabbing prohibition when you get the chance to grab it. Understand that what we have here in Oregon isn't perfect. I mean, we got a whole half the state that can't have pot shops. We still got some work to do. Washington State still has a 40-gram felony. That still needs to be fixed. Colorado still segregates their medical and their recreational people from each other. That ain't right. Alaska hasn't even started sales yet. Folks, when you pass legalization, there's always something that has to be fixed, and it's always going to be hard. But it's not harder than ending prohibition in the first place. Get it done. Vote yes on issue three. John Pardee, thanks for joining us. OhioRightsGroup.org if you want more information. And we'll see you in Ohio someday.
Thanks, Russ.
Thank you so much. All right, folks, stay tuned. We got time here after our anti-drug public service announcement of the day for a radical rant. We're going to dig into the California clusterfuck. And it's the only word that is appropriate, so I'm going with it. FCC can't touch me. Be back right after this.
Of the Marijuana Nation. The Russ Belville Show. We're as much like Cheech and Chong as ordinary Americans are like the Three Stooges. Hey, Mo!
Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org. In the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Russ Belville Show presents the anti-drug public service announcement of the day.
New research shows a permanent drop in IQ when marijuana is used regularly before the age of 18. Marijuana, it lowers intelligence.
This has been the anti-drug public service announcement of the day. To cure this sort of reefer madness, listen to The Russ Belville Show every weekday on 420radio.org.
420 Radio is brought to you by Sacred Serum, who is focused on creating elegant and sophisticated cannabis solutions through its line of dispensers and vaporizers that come preloaded with the world's finest cannabis concentrate. Sacred Serum's concentrate is made on pharmaceutical-grade, supercritical CO2 extraction machines that use absolutely no butane or other toxic chemicals. The Vesica, the company's innovative new way to dab and frost, is now available in dispensaries across California. Sacred Serum, elegance and sophistication concentrated.
420 Radio. Tune in, turn on, get highly educated.
must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical Rant.
Welcome back, everybody, and today in the Radical Rant, we are going to take a look south to the state of California. The biggest jewel in the legalization crown as we fight for 2016 legalization. And folks, it's a clusterfuck. I don't know how else to explain it. Oh my God. All right. So we reported last week of how Reform CA, Reform California, was informed by, or Drug Policy Alliance, I should say, had distanced itself a bit from Reform CA. And Marijuana Policy Project had asked Reform CA to take its name off of their pages and such. Because now DPA is apparently putting together some text that might be part of their initiative. And Marijuana Policy Project isn't sure they're going to support Reform California. And keep in mind, this exists in the background. Also, we still have like 4, 5, 6 other initiatives out there in California, including the CCHI, the Jack Herer Initiative, the MCLR, Marijuana Control, Legalize, Regulate, whatever. But there's like 8 or 9 different groups out there now, all trying to legalize marijuana. Now, normally, this isn't so much of an issue because normally there's two. Normally, there's the one that's got money, and the one that's got money in professionals, and there's the other one that's got longtime activists and better language, but no shot in hell of getting on the ballot. That's usually the setup in these situations. But here, we've got like 4 that have no shot in getting on the ballot, but are pretty good language, and we've got like 4 that are really good language, and all have backing, and all could get money, and all have pros working on them. The latest thing I've heard about is Sean Parker. You ever heard of Sean Parker? He's the guy that invented Napster. And he was the first president of Facebook. And he's involved with Spotify and a bunch of other stuff. Guy's worth $3 billion. And the word is that this Sean Parker fella is now putting together an initiative. And he's got the kind of money that he could actually back the thing himself if he wanted to. So now you got the major players like Drug Policy Alliance and Marijuana Policy Project sitting kind of back and waiting to see, all right, is Reform CA going to get any money? Is Sean Parker's going to go forward? Is that the one that's going to have some money? Are we going to do our own with some money? I mean, my God, it's just... Jesus. We are 13 months away from voting, from potentially voting on marijuana legalization in the state of California. 13 months. Okay. And for there to be 8 out there and 4 of them that are monetarily viable is terrifying me. You know, as I read all these reports that come out, you know, that prognosticate about legalization, you know, that, oh, there could be 8 more states that legalize by 2016. Every time they say California, I'm like, knock on wood. Everybody seems to think California is this slam dunk, that it's just, it's bound to happen. And you know, folks, the more that this shit goes on, the more I'm like, I hope it does. I hope something gets on the ballot in California and passes. Now, maybe, just maybe, there's enough money and interest out there that multiple things make the ballot. Maybe we get a Reform CA and a Sean Parker and a DPA and an MPP. Maybe there's 4 initiatives on the California ballot for legalization. And in that case, the one that gets the most votes wins. Hey, maybe that happens. It's hard to know because California is unique. I can't use my experiences from any other states because California is freaking huge and it's Waterloo for prohibition. It's Custer's last stand for prohibition. This is it. The prohibitionists lose California, it's over. It's all over, but just waiting for us, the dominoes to fall. So there is going to be anti-money put into this like we've never seen before. You thought Sheldon Adelson's $4 million in Florida, was it $4 or $5 million in Florida was a big deal? Oh, wait till you see a $10 or $20 million Koch brothers, Adelson, whoever else funded anti-marijuana campaign in California. And it could be really easy to pull off too. If I were running the anti-campaign, I'd come out with an ad showing your typical dispensary in California, your typical dock in the box where I can go spend $40 and point at a word on a big sign, and that's my condition, and I can get a card. And I would just say, why should we legalize marijuana? Marijuana is virtually legal in California already. Anybody who wants it can get it with a doctor's recommendation. Marijuana is a dangerous drug. Shouldn't we at least have a doctor intervene before someone gets a hold of it? See where that goes, man? I could totally paint that. You could totally paint it as, for the people who think we ought not have criminal penalties, you could paint it as, all right, let's just expand medical. Make sure that everybody, you know, is still medical. Let's just expand the system we've got. Why start a brand new system? And to have to fight this battle with four different initiatives going on, it's maddening to me because when I read the Reform CA draft and went through the whole damn thing, I don't see any problems with it. Like, what major disagreement could there be to require four different initiatives at this point? I mean, I know the major disagreements for the kids table initiatives, right? I know their differences are like, well, if you can't have 30 pounds of marijuana at all times, then it's not legal. If it doesn't immediately free all the pot prisoners, it's not legal. You know, so I understand, you know, those could be some major points of disagreement that would cause there to be a need for different initiatives. But what is a Parker initiative going to do that's going to be any different than what Reform CA is doing? Legalizing an ounce, like every other initiative has, legalizing up to a pound or decriminalizing up to a pound, better than what Oregon has done. Institution of pot shops, growers, keeping the small growers in mind by having a small artisanal tier for growers less than a half acre. Protecting people's medical marijuana patients' rights in employment, housing, so forth, medical care, allowing for collective cultivation, 10 by 10 for each person in the collective, establishment of pot shops, I think I mentioned that, specifically rejecting metabolite and active THC as means of detecting road impairment. What else do we need in this? What's missing? I just cannot imagine that we hit 2016 summertime, early fall in September, and the airwaves in California are blanketed by four different ads, one for each for a different legalization. And whether or not that leads to confusion or people just getting sick of the whole thing. Having four different sets of messaging going out there versus one steady and consistent drumbeat for prohibition. Why can't we all just get a bong? Why does there need to be this difference between all of us? You know, Johnny Green wrote a great piece today on the Weed blog about this person hates that person and this person hates that person, so they won't work with that person or this person. Got to tell you, too, it's something that's affected my situation here in Portland, even. We were damn close to not having a Portland Normal booth at the Portland Hempstock next weekend.
because of this. This person hates that person. This person has a beef with that person. It's just maddening. So Californians, I don't know what to tell you. I still have a lot of friends in California that support CCHI, who support MCLR, others who support Reform California, others who work for Drug Policy Alliance, others who work for Marijuana Policy Project, others who are in California Normal, and other normal chapters throughout California. And we've almost got a separate initiative for each one of those different groups. It's time to unite. California is the biggest prize. There's not room to mess this up. California failing to get on the ballot in 2016 unnecessarily delays the time that all the rest of the states get their chance at being legal. And California failing in 2016, if it makes the ballot and fails, that's the biggest victory for prohibition ever. That's the swing back of the pendulum. That's the nonstop talking point of Kevin Sabet and all his protégés saying, even California recognized that Colorado and Oregon and Washington and Oregon have gone too far. The states have had a buyer's remorse over marijuana. They've discovered that the teenage use goes up and the kids end up in the ER for eating pot, and there's more accidents on the road with people with pot in their system, and the country now is coming to reject legalization. That's what is at stake. That's what we're facing here in California. So Sean Parker, DPA, MPP, Dale Sky Jones, Alice Huffman, Dale Geringer, all you folks out there in California who I deeply respect and want to see you win, find a way you can do it together, please. The rest of the country's depending on you. Well, folks, that's all the time we got for our podcast hour, but those of you listening live, stay tuned, and we will be continuing on Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation. We're going to talk more about Ohio, probably. Also, Oregon, and how really only half our state legalized. It's very weird. But I created a new graphic today that shows it in pretty stark relief. For everyone here at Rolla J Studios in beautiful legal Potland, Oregon, I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers!
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.